and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. Day 240! And keynote day! How is everybody? Ooh, Simon. As I heard it, Mrs. Simon said, and I quote, Simon doesn't need, note that, need any more toys. I wondered what that meant as well. I was very, very concerned. I would love an Apple Silicon iMac, but I don't think we're going to get one. My second choice would be an Apple Silicon Mac Mini to play with. Which I think, well, not many people have said we'll see it, but I can't see why we wouldn't get it. Because it already exists. So why not make it available? You know, Black Friday, sales, people, money. What else? Not in the market for a laptop myself. Got a laptop 2 years ago. It's absolutely fine. So is it the MacBook Air that they're going on about? And the MacBook Pro? Nice. Not interested. Unfortunately. What about the weird stuff that's been mentioned a million times this year and we haven't seen? Stuff like the AirTags. And what were those headphones called? The Beats something. The over-ear ones. That were like an arm, a leg and a kidney. Those. And what else was mentioned? Weird stuff. Basically weird stuff. Not a laptop, not an iPad, just weird stuff. I mean, those tags have been mentioned every event since time immemorial. And we still haven't seen them. If they came out, would you buy them? Hello, Paul! Listening in but working. Work on keynote day? Not good. Could you with us? CQ Deb. How much would you spend on these tag things? Because I said you needed one the other day. What did I say you needed to put it on?
My keys, probably.
No, I don't think it was. You're always wandering around losing your phone, but you can find that with your watch. Keys would necessitate you leaving the house.
Can't remember.
It was something innocuous, but it was perfect for it. Rogue Amoeba apps have initial Biggles compatibility. Yeah, I saw that. Some of them have actually got final compatibility. They are just compatible. I think the big holdout is going to be Audio Hijack, as ever. But I can understand why. not too good, too much to get done. Hello, Mrs. Simon. I've explained to Simon the logic of not buying anything. So if he's crying in a corner, that's why. I said, you said, he didn't need anything. Maybe Jane will come in and explain the concept of need. It's need versus want and there's no difference in the Apple world. So that's the short version. Will we see Biggles today? There's an idea. But what else is going on in the world? I've got a story here and I'm hoping Simon and Mrs. Simon have seen it because it just left me speechless. I am so ashamed to be British when I read stories like this. Right, let me find it because I had lots to say on it. Oh, don't tell me they've taken it off the homepage. They can't possibly have done. Come on, where is it? Live in Scotland. No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't that one. Is it that one? Nope, not Scotland. Why is there so much on about Scotland? Has Scotland done something different? Didn't Wales come out of lockdown yesterday?
Well, they did. Or today, wasn't it?
You're hoping it's the Boris tweet thing. Well, that made me ashamed to be British as well, but this other one was slightly worse. Let's do the Boris tweet thing first. Boris tweeted and congratulated Joe Biden on winning the election. Why it was a graphic, I don't know. And whoever did the graphics really wanted shooting, didn't they? But underneath it, you could see it said Donald Trump. I have no idea either. Let's try Boris Biden tweet. That's bound to find it, isn't it? While I look for the other one. Must have been on Sky News, that one. There we go. Boris Johnson's congratulatory tweet to Joe Biden revealed to show Trump underneath. It must have been a graphic. But I don't know what they've done with it. Because you couldn't really see it on the original. They seem to have done some kind of reverse jiggery-pokery on it. So you can see it. But I'll put the link in. It's a classic. Typical. While I find the other one. Maybe that was on Sky News as well. Could well have been. It was one of those moments where I was just incredulous. Why are there things about Britney Spears? That's not half as interesting as the one that I saw. Because I'm going to take exception with anybody who's a parent. is there a search on Sky News? Are you kidding me? Right, let's do the long thing. And that doesn't have an L in it. Right, let's put that in. Oh, apparently it doesn't come up in there. Let's try something else to find it. You know that annoying thing? Oh, good grief, this goes from bad to worse. I've found one that's worse. I must have seen... Oh, the Daily... No, leave the Daily Mail alone. No, this was... this one is actually worse than the headline I saw. But the headline... Well, yes, I know you use cookies. Go away. Yes, I agree. Oh, for God's sake. Lose the will to live with this. Yes, I know. That's exactly what I said, Lola. But you have far better manners than that. This was the thing that said, children have been hardest hit by COVID-19 and are regressing back into nappies and they've forgotten how to use a knife and fork. Let's just think about that for a moment. Regressing back into nappies. Are they buying their own? Forgetting how to use a knife and fork. Do they not use a knife and fork at home? I couldn't believe that. I thought, isn't it the parent's responsibility to make sure that a child can use the toilet and use a knife and fork?
Yes, Lola.
Or have I missed something? We train you, don't we? I haven't had any treats today, people. Make her feed me.
She has. She had lunch.
Did you have lunch and you didn't tell me? Come on. You can choose between a red one.
Should I have an empty?
And then come back and fill up. Come on. Hello, Graham. We're discussing children. I reckon Graham's bears a bit better behaved than this. The fact that children are forgetting how to use a knife and fork. Can I ask a serious question? Are any of you forgetting how to use a knife and fork? Do you only use a knife and fork when you go out to eat? I am so ashamed. I really am. There have been stories over the last... probably 2 to 3 years, that children turning up to school. Now, what I will say about that is, in my day, you turned up to school aged 5. You could well now be in like the junior infants thing, kindergarten, basically, aged about 3. But they can't use a knife and fork. They don't know what a knife and fork is. And I'm incredulous with that. I really am. Is it just that everybody buys from Greggs now? Am I totally out of kilter with everybody else? Now, you see, Lola doesn't use a knife and fork. Graham, what's a knife and fork? Brilliant. Clearly, there is a Greggs close by. No, I just don't get that. I really don't get that. Oh, that's pasted in twice, crying out loud. It wasn't the Joe Biden thing I'm trying to paste in. It's this one from ITV. There you go. There's the ITV one with the nappies and the knives and forks. The election is not officially called until the states have certified the votes for their states and assigned their electors. The end date is the 12th of December. Newscasters do not have the final say. I totally agree, Deb. I've never understood. There was a... Was it... I can't remember which election, but somebody called it for somebody. And it was all over the front of the Chicago paper and then it wasn't them. You call it so soon. It's as though the networks have more power than the actual voters. Now, what we get over here is you are not allowed to discuss it before the election. So for a month before the election, there are very, very, very stringent rules on what you can and can't say on TV or print. So on election night, when the polls close, which is 10 p.m. here, the very first item on the 10 o'clock news will be the exit polls and what they predict. But they are never, ever considered final until the votes are actually in. It's just a prediction. Now, sometimes it's accurate, but many times it's not as accurate as you would imagine it could be, because people are lying to the pollsters, as we've established. But it's not final until all the votes are counted. Whereas on Saturday, we'd had this thing on the BBC homepage, which had Biden on the left and Trump on the right, and then like a blue bar and a red bar, meeting at 2:70 in the middle. And it hadn't moved in days. And then the news came on. Mike had literally just left the room, and it said, the BBC... Biden's won the election. The BBC have called it. And I thought, just a minute, you're not even in the same country. What do you mean you've called it? But basically, the BBC were piggybacking on something that a US network had decided. And then people started congratulating him and parties started. And it was as if that's it then. But I thought, have you actually finished counting the votes? And apparently you've not. So it is very strange. Watching it is very, very strange. And then there's all the recounts and stuff like that. So I can only imagine how horrific it is actually living there and living through all of this. But yeah, I'm pretty ashamed that there are children forgetting how to use a knife and fork. I mean, I remember my mum teaching me to use a knife and fork. I was very young. But I don't think that's something you forget. It's like riding a bike, isn't it? And as for regressing back into nappies, who's putting the children in nappies? As I've said, I'm so ashamed. Oh, it wouldn't be like that here. This is why I don't have children. They take so much looking after. And I've got Mike to look after. I can officially tell you, though, he can use a knife and fork. Oh... That's what the media is doing this time as well, basically statistically based on counted votes. But at one point, doesn't that depend upon the moment that they look at the counted votes? Because I'm sure at one point they said in Pennsylvania, Trump had nearly 1 million votes more. And then it goes the other way. I don't understand it. But I'm just watching from afar, thinking, thank God it's another 4 years until we need one. At which point I realised, which I did put in a mail or something somewhere, your next election in November 2024 is going to be within weeks of our next election in 2024. It'll be chaotic, won't it, girl? Right, do you want one of these now? Oh, mummy, I do. There we go. See, she was starving.
Yeah.
You've been keeping her starving. Yeah. What a cruel daddy. Oh, what have you done on Windows, Graham? Going on the maths. Yes, but even so, I'd have more faith in a system where no one could say a darn thing until the votes were actually counted. And another thing I didn't quite understand, in 2000, the hanging chads malarkey, votes were cast electronically. So aren't they automatically counted? Why do you need 3 weeks to count the votes? Have you gone back to paper because of something? Because as I understood it, it was a machine, a voting machine, and that would automatically be counted, wouldn't it? Unless they've changed it all. Right. You've been editing all day via TeamViewer. Close it down 15 minutes ago, it won't open again. Oh, Graham. How could you reboot it? No, you're going to have to wait until after lockdown, Graham. Can't you do it the other way round? couldn't you put a VM on your Mac to edit it? And I know the files themselves might be an issue then. Is there nobody on site could just kick it for you? Like the office cat. Oh, the joys of remote working. I said to Mike, and I don't think he agreed with me, but I agree with me, obviously, that things were more stable years ago, more fully featured and more stable. It was as I was typing into Notion and I was thinking that the Notion font looks different depending on which browser you're in. And then I was thinking about Evernote and the fact that there is only one font now. But you used to be able to choose your Evernote font, didn't you? And make like rich text by formatting text in a note. And all of that's gone. I mean, it is ridiculous, isn't it? To have an app and then rip half the features out, which they've done. They've brought out another update today, adding back features. Because that new one was like bereft of anything. But it's nowhere near back to where it was. Nowhere near. Still can't handle any audio. Oh, I swear things worked better years ago. The walk-in voters accounted first. Trump encouraged people to vote in person. Intended to challenge the validity of the postal votes. I guess they can't count the postal votes early, because if they did, that would become the result. The way things seem to work in the States, that would be the result. When a candidate concedes, the votes are so far apart, then a candidate will, upon others' concession, be declared the winner. But it's still very... Well, it's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to go on the vote. But I just think... I like the fact with our system, they've got to shut up until the polls are at least closed. And after that, they're fairly careful. Right, I'll get a brown one and a red one out, and you can choose. Live on air. There we go. Oh, no, that's two red ones. Hang on, where's the brown one? We do have a brown one. So we have a red one in front of the microphone. Brown one, red one. The brown one's about 4 millimetres longer. Which one do you want? Red one. I wasn't even interested in the brown one, despite the fact it's fractionally longer. She's disappeared with the red one, bless her heart. Your Mac's too old to run DaVinci. Oh, that's not good. But aren't you in the market for a new iMac? But you're going to wait, aren't you, until the Apple Silicon comes out? Could you be tempted by a Mac Mini, Graham? Trump saying he doesn't understand why he had an early lead. It's because he's either stupid or trying to mislead people. Simon, you've missed out the opportunity for both. I thought it was interesting. There was a piece on the BBC and it said, here's a list of world leaders who haven't congratulated Biden. Guess what? One of them was Russia. Saying nothing. Leave it alone. Actually, in relation to this, are people stupid? Obviously, with news of Pfizer and their breakthrough with the vaccine, our papers this morning were just completely full of it. And they'd actually put in, let's find some of the front pages. Will we find that on the BBC or will you have hidden them again? Oh, you haven't. Jolly good. Our little bottle of hope. Vaccine discovery, the world celebrates. One small jab for man. Vaccine breakthrough gives hope of a vaccine program by Christmas. I'm presuming they mean this one. Now, it was this one on the Daily Express that really made me think. Vaccine hope, life back to normal by the spring. And that really did make me stop in my tracks and think, life back to normal. And I actually said to Mike, I'm not 100% sure I want to go back to normal. Because during the pandemic, I actually said to Mike, if somebody had said on the 23rd of March, which was when we officially went into lockdown, could you stay inside for a year to protect other people, I'd have said yes in a heartbeat. But from what I've seen of other people's behaviour, certain people, where they've ignored the lockdown, where they're arguing about, you know, my right to go out and cause havoc and all the rest of it, I read that headline and I thought, judging by what I've seen, I'm never leaving the house again, whether there's a vaccine or not, because you're all absolutely barking mad. If anybody's out there, you know, there are no words. I don't want to mix with you because I don't want to catch stupid, like I said the other day. Oh. Let's have a look. You're going to wait for an arm iMac. I think it's that close now, you probably might as well. Although, having said that, my Mac is so poorly. It is so poorly. Hello, Jonathan! Email signatures with our provider aren't working because Microsoft having a hissy. IT guys off. Forster Muggins to fix it. That sounds like my life here, doesn't it, Mike? When you swanned in, was it about what? 40 minutes before showtime?
Sounds like my life as well. Looking another support ticket.
Oh, we're doing that, are we? Mm. No wonder he's quiet and moody. Oh, you're mean and moody.
Mm.
Should we take some photos of you in mean and moody mode?
No.
Oh, he's in a very mean mood. Yes, we had a problem with the radio station 40 minutes before showtime on the day of a keynote. So, jiggery pokery has been done and Mike's dealing with support. So, Jonathan, he feels your pain. Most vaccines not 100%, COVID is 90, others are 75 to 85. I still don't think, I mean, I don't know how this is going to pan out. I wouldn't fancy being one of the first to get it, but then I wouldn't be one of the first to get it anyway. I'm concerned about the lack of testing. I think I've had every other vaccination that's recommended. I think so. What? How old are you when you have the last one? It's that BCG, isn't it? 13, 14?
Yeah, I think so.
And I'd already had that. So I think I've had absolutely all of them. But despite the fact that I was immunised against measles, mumps and rubella, I still caught measles. So I do wonder about the logic of bothering. But I did. The only thing I didn't was mumps. Now, they do inoculate you against that, don't they? I think I had three separate ones. That's where it got confusing. 90% is good. It's not that that bothers me. It's how can they tell how long it will last? What will be the issue with the vaccine they've got if the thing mutates even slightly? And what do we do the next time this happens? Because having seen those markets, it'll happen. Do we go through it all again? I think... things like Ocado put out a thing. They're an online shopping company. And they said people are not going to go back to shopping the way they did. And I thought, well, that makes sense. And then I thought, but people like shopping. I don't, but other people do. They actually like going out shopping. Whether they meant grocery shopping, I don't know. Will anything change? No, I think this Daily Express, life will be back to normal. That's what people want. But I'm looking at what they're considering normal and thinking that that probably wasn't a good idea to start with. Mind you, you know, thinking about what's going on, people are putting in place procedures and equipment and workflows to work from home anyway. So this has gone on long enough. What does normal look like? Would you fancy going back to work?
No.
Jonathan, do you fancy going back to work? The measles vaccine is only 75%. You need to have some booster shots. I think I've had whatever you are supposed to have with them, and it was many, many years ago when I got measles. What was comical about it? Well, it wasn't comical at the time, I can assure you. I was 4 and a half. I hadn't even started school, but I'd had all the immunisations and boosters and all whatever I needed, I'd had. And I went in hospital to have my tonsils out. And afterwards, instead of feeling better, you know, like everybody says, like your mum's saying to you, oh, you'll feel much better afterwards. I didn't. I felt shocking. And I didn't get any better. I was actually getting much, much worse. I was in this large ward. There was probably about 30 children. There was a big TV at the end and you could watch like cartoons. And I just couldn't look at the TV. It was just too bright and I had a headache and I just wanted to lie in bed and be covered up with the sheets. And my mum was saying to them, she's worse than she was when she came in. What's going on? Eventually, they discovered that I'd caught measles while I was in there. And they sent me home. Despite the fact I should not be sent home. I was not ready to be sent home. Put it like that. And they sent me home. But because I was going to be in hospital for a certain number of days, my mum and dad had decided to take the opportunity for safety's sake and just convenience to have central heating put in. So when they sent me home, there wasn't a room in the house that didn't look like a builder's yard. They ended up having to bring a single bed downstairs and put me in that, but they were actually putting in the central heating pipes around me in this bed. So no matter where I was not comfortable. I was not happy. Oh, what fun that was. Not. Hey, I've got memory of it, though. I'm never going to forget it, that's for sure. Jonathan needs a holiday from work, not more work. Totally agree. Isn't it exhausting? Mind you, we've got our biggest holiday of the year coming up. And the laugh of it is, we'll sit in exactly the same places, working with exactly the same tools, but it'll be on our stuff. Ooh, Graham saves nearly 3 hours travel. Is that each day, Graham? Because don't you have a park and ride scheme? I remember you saying you were listening once on your phone, I think, on the park and ride. Mrs. Simons worked from home for nearly 2 decades. Oh, me too. I started working from home. Well, I did work from home in the 90s, but officially it was when Mayor arrived in 2001. So 19 years, but probably from about 1996. Which was when I started doing computer work, as opposed to being a lawyer. So 2 decades, only occasionally needing to turn up somewhere in person. Can't imagine leaving the house for X hours every day. You love it. I agree. The things I see when I go out. And this is what I'm saying about this back to normal business. So does back to normal mean exactly the way it was back to normal? And I think for people to get that, it does. And I'm thinking back to, do you remember we went out and we had a lovely lunch at the Mickerbrook and a family pitched up with either, I think it was 3 kids. One was in a high chair and 2 were like maybe 5.
So it's the ones they gave the iPad to keep them quiet.
Yeah. They're all sat there. Well, we're coming out for a family meal, they said, parked themselves next to us. And I thought, oh, joy. And they sat down. The kids started arguing. The little one was like banging the table. The mum got out 3 iPads and gave one to each kid. And that was their idea of a family lunch. When the food arrived, they don't think they could use a knife and fork either and just started throwing it at each other. If that's normal, I'm not eating it. And then there's other things as well. You know, when you go out and you see people eating pasties from paper bags and their hands are all over where your hands are going to be, and when you think how careful you have to be with the COVID thing, you're thinking, well, what are you picking up normally even if COVID wasn't an issue? Things like flu, because they're telling you that flu is a killer. I'm not seeing life back to normal by the spring, only in terms of, I think it could be back to normal for people because I think they'll just totally ignore it. So it might look like normal, but people will still be catching it. And there will be sensible people who will be thinking, I'm not having a bar of that. And that'll be me. But to leave the house for a certain amount of time, I used to find that quite stressful. Because whatever I was asked to do, back in the day, I've got books here. And it'll be, could you just build this? Could you just build that? And you're like, I've not got my reference book with me. And you'd start carrying your reference books with you, wouldn't you, in like a big pilot's case. I remember going into Manchester with two briefcases. One of them was a huge pilot's case that was absolutely full of reference books for Access. VBA reference books for Access.
I did that with VBA.
Now, at least now they'd be on your iPad. But that's not the point, is it? It's still not as convenient as being at home on your own system where everything is just where you know it's going to be. So I totally agree with Mrs. Simon. You need boosters as an adult, somewhere between 40 and 60, to carry you through. Oh, well, that's not happened, Deb. Not seen a doctor since 1994. And even then, I only wanted to get me out a college letter. I wasn't particularly that ill. But then if I never go out again, then I'm not going to have to worry, am I? Graham. Every day. Oh, wow. Park and ride still takes 2.5 hours plus. Oh, do you remember Paul from Basingstoke? And he had like, wasn't he commuting from London?
Yeah.
And he used to join in these events and he'd be driving home. And I think his round trip was something like 7 hours a day. And we're like, no. I mean, that's work for a day, 7 hours. Not 7 hours to get there and do the work. And that's what he used to. No wonder he decided he was going off to Spain and getting a bar, which he did. And he then became Paul from Spain, not Paul from Basingstoke.
He's back here now, isn't he?
He's back here now because of the COVID thing. Well, all the bars were shut, weren't they?
True.
Right, that's the big problem with Andrew Wakefield and all the MMS stuff. Creates all sorts of problems for older people too. We have a very sad case locally of a guy with late life measles. My gran got, is it shingles? They call it later in life.
I think it is.
And she said it was the most painful thing she'd ever had. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, oh, it's only measles, whatever it was. But she was in a lot of pain with it. Heaven knows where she caught it. She lived on her own. You only work 2 days a week, though. Which is just as well, Graham. Imagine how much time you'd have travelling. That's a shocking amount of time. Mind you, I said to you, didn't I, how many hours a week are you saving by not travelling? And it's got to be at least 10 hours a week, probably more.
Yeah.
If you were in every day, it would be. Mm. But the other thing is, you know, it's better for the environment. Better on your pocket as well, because you don't have to buy all the petrol.
True.
I mean, I would probably not use that much petrol in a year anyway, but I haven't filled up since before last Christmas because I haven't been anywhere. But when you think how much money that you've saved and how much fossil fuel you've not used, and I wouldn't say, I think the electric bill's probably been more because we had the fan on in the summer because there was two of us in two separate rooms, so we need two separate fans. I don't know about the winter. Because we do have a rather nice electric blanket, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, to be fair, the dog has a rather nice electric blanket. She sometimes lets us share. She goes into the bed and like, right, can you turn it on? You turn it on. And there's this hot spot on it, isn't there? And she mooches around until she finds the hot spot and then flops on it. So it's the electric blanket underneath a sheet, underneath the quilt. And she loves it. And like I say, just like Maya sometimes let Dad sit in his own chair, sometimes she lets us share it.
True.
I think that did put the electric up last year, but it was nice.
Yeah, it's worth it.
It was worth it, because otherwise my feet are far too cold. In off-peak hours, it's a half-hour drive. That must be so frustrating, Graham. Oh, I think it's probably as bad here. I did used to drive to work when I went to work, which would have been 94. And it was, I disliked it so much. The place that I worked at was no more than 10 minutes away off peak. But if you left the house at 8, which was really peak hours, you wouldn't get there till 9. If you left about 7:30, you'd be there by about 7:45. But what am I going to do for an hour and a quarter? So what I used to do was leave it and not leave the house till 8:55. And you still got there for 9:00. It was ridiculous. It's crazy. Ooh, do I want to see ads like this, Simon? It's a wonder anybody lives beyond 50, isn't it? Good grief, look at the state of him.
Who is it?
It's a guy that's in the local paper. It's worked as a taxi driver. And now he's severely brain damaged, unable to walk and barely talk after catching measles in 2017. I mean, you do just think, don't you? It's measles. And now his wife's had to give up her work as well. You couldn't risk catching... She couldn't risk catching COVID and passing it on, which would make him even worse. It is shocking. I wonder then why my doctor, who knows how old I am, hasn't offered... Maybe that'll come. Maybe that'll come when all this is over. I would have imagined you'd get a note saying you need to get this boosted, that boosted, or something else boosted. They really... Hang on. If you've had chickenpox, you can get shingles. Best to take the vaccine. You've had it, they gave you a vaccine, you had it as a preventative. I know I've had chickenpox. I know I've had German measles. I guess my gran didn't know, and I'm not sure in her youth if there'd have been any vaccine anyway. But I wonder why they didn't give her a vaccine. She was diabetic and had a heart condition. So if there was a vaccine to be had, I wonder why they didn't make it as an option. Oh, Mrs. Simon, not good. Did we not get chickenpox vaccinations? I know I've had it, but I thought we did.
I don't think we did we?
I don't know. I was far too young to remember what they were giving me. It's like you say, there was the one on the sugar lump, but there was
that
another
was polio,
half dozen.
Wasn't it?
But there was another half dozen that they gave, and it was just like you just sat there and you got them. I didn't realise if you'd had it, it could then flare up again. My grand's did, to be honest, but I think it was only twice. But when she got it, it was for like 6 months. Then it kind of settled down again. But she also had arthritis. She had two kinds of arthritis, and she'd had it since her late 30s. So she was in a very bad way with that to start with. So they'd sent her for physiotherapy to like get some movement in her arms and fingers again. Which she was like, yeah, fine. She was a bad patient with that. She was. It is so awful for the family. I agree with you. I saw a story, and it just reminds me of that picture of the chair that he's in. It was a guy who worked for Microsoft. And there was a thing in the States called The Game. And it was a kind of extreme adventure game, I would say. They were in a desert and you had to get in these cars. I mean, it was a really expensive thing to participate in. You know, it could have been like $10,000 a head. But it was over the course of like a week. So they all treated it as like, let's all go on a Microsoft outing. So there was lots of people from Microsoft there and people from other companies. And they did these extreme things. And then one of them was it was more like a geocaching thing where they had to pick up things from where they'd been. So they get the map and they head off to this mine. And it was in some desert somewhere in the States. And they had to retrieve like an object from the mine. And they're looking at the signs that are on the walls and the signs over the entrance. And it turns out they went to the wrong entrance to this mine. And above it, there was like a big cross saying no entry. And they looked at it and thought it was part of the game and decided to ignore it. So they went into this cave mine system thing. And this guy from Microsoft, who'd been a team leader or something, heads off inside ahead of the others. I think he might have had a torch. But whatever, if he did have a torch, I don't know, he wasn't using it, because he ended up going head first down this shaft. They got him out, but he was brain damaged beyond working. And just like you're saying with this guy's wife and family, they used to take him out in a chair that looked exactly like that. The game was really pared back after that. But this was someone who was really fit and able. I mean, able enough to go on this game thing. Those things always worry me, that they're not actually that safe. But in this case, definitely not. The rehabilitation took like a year. And even then, he still had brain damage and he would never walk again. I don't think he could talk either. So she said, like, you know, the man she got back wasn't her husband. And the children were quite young at the time. It is terrible. Two of the bears. I will have a look at the bears, Graham. Do we have names? Do we have names? So Simon's point was, after him and his vaccine nonsense, there are profound consequences beyond just his research. Yes, because people believe it. And yet, I can't understand it, Simon, because at the moment you've got the papers going absolutely crazy with, isn't it fantastic news? Isn't it amazing? We've got this vaccine. I know when they ask people, would you take it? A lot of people are saying no. But I think that is separate from the Wakefield thing. If normal vaccine takes 10 years, would you take something that's taken less than a year? But I get people seem to want to believe that it doesn't work or it's dangerous more than they want to believe it's great and you can then lead a normal life. I don't understand it. Having said that, if I had a child, well, I know what I'd do. I'd have them separately the old way. Like when I was a kid, which you have to pay for, but then, you know, kids, you got to pay for stuff. It's like getting treats for the dog. Same with Maya. Maya would have his jabs every year until he was 8. And when he had them when he was 8, he wasn't the same dog for a month. He was, what was he like? He was sad. His head would sit up and his head would just drop onto his chest. He was walking into walls. He was tired. He just wasn't the same dog. And I said to Mike, I'm not letting him have that again. Because there is such a thing, particularly in dogs who get these things every year, as like overdoing it. Once he recovered, I would say he wasn't bad, but we never gave him vaccines again and he was fine. In fact, I would take his homeopathy first and then I would give it to him. And he responded really, really well to it. I don't know if that's a global thing or just a thing with him. But it didn't kill me, so I gave it him. And whenever he did have a bit of an issue, he got over it within hours. Wasn't there a dog not long ago died with kennel cough on the park?
I think there might have been, yeah, I think there was.
There was another bout of kennel cough locally again. And when it happens, even though they give them antibiotics and all sorts, it doesn't seem to work. But this thing I gave Maya for kennel cough, it was a concoction of my own, came from Amazon. I tried it first and after 2 hours I wasn't dead, so I gave it to him. And this horrible cough that he developed from about 10 o'clock that morning, it had gone by the time you came home, hadn't it? But I'd taken video of him so Mike could see how bad he actually was. It's a dangerous line to walk because they're poisons, but it worked. I didn't realise chicken pox vaccine wasn't that old. So I definitely haven't had that. Because in the last 20 years, I've not had it. You've had measles and chicken pox, not mumps or German measles. I think I have had measles, German measles and chicken pox, but I've not had mumps. Mumps freaks me out because the prospect of not being able to breathe. And there was a bout of that. And it must have been like Simon says, the Wakefield research put parents off giving them the vaccine and they get to university and there was an outbreak of mumps and everybody got it. But you should have seen the pictures of these kids. I mean, they were like 18 to sort of 21, but their faces and their necks just swelled 3-4 times the size that they were normally. I've never seen anything like it. And they said it was really a tough thing to get through, that it's easier to have it when you're a child. And I would have thought, or being vaccinated against it, because there must be a mumps vaccine on its own. They put all their effort into all the resources went into develop a new vaccine and they didn't need to use eggs for the test batches like in the olden days. That reminds me of how they used to do pregnancy tests, Deb. It was something to do with rabbits. I think. And my mum went to the doctor. This was obviously in the 60s. And she said, I'm pregnant. And he said, well, we'll do the test. And they did the test. And she was working full time at the time. They did the test and he said she wasn't pregnant. And she just looked at the quack and said, trust me, I'm pregnant. And I think this was quite early on. Anyway, they did this test three times. And three times it came back and said she wasn't pregnant, which meant at work she couldn't put any maternity stuff in because she couldn't prove she was pregnant. And she said to the doctor after the third one, what am I supposed to do? And he said, well, we'll wait and we'll be able to tell in the end. And she said, oh, yeah, like when I'm 7 months gone. And yeah, she was 5 months pregnant before anyone would believe her. Well, that's bad, isn't it? We needed better testing back then as well. I didn't research the Wakefield thing much. I knew what had come out of it. I knew what he'd said. And it was given a lot of airtime, wasn't it, Simon? Considering it was something in a medical journal, it was given a lot of airtime. And I don't think you can blame people for being concerned. Even if it's said later, oh, and you know, that wasn't true. In their mind, it was published and you've got peer review and there's all the rest of it. And it's out there and you can't put the genie back in the bottle. And I don't think some of these people are anti-vaxxers, just full stop. I get that. But others just want to do the right thing for their child and they don't know what to do. And I feel really sorry for them. That you can get a reputation like if your child had it, well, my child hasn't, and all of this. And it's like, well, you're not looking after your child. Well, yes, I am looking after my child. You're not looking after your child. And it all becomes, I mean, I've seen it kick off. Not that I venture in there often, but it's usually like a story on Facebook. I've seen it kick off on Mumsnet over a child's name. I could only imagine how bad it is over whether your child has been vaccinated or not. Seriously, it must be horrific to be in the midst of all of that now. Graham says there's always an element of risk. A friend has had a new treatment for breast cancer, which 12 years later was found to be affecting the heart. Hers is now only 30% efficient. I agree with you. I totally agree with you, Graham. They come out with these fantastic things. There was one that was on Grey's Anatomy, and I had no idea about it. But the way it was described was like, oh, my God. It was one of the new doctors has two kids and his wife has died. So you see a flashback to the two of them getting together, getting married, having the kids. And she is then diagnosed with cancer. I think it was ovarian cancer. And there was a thing, or womb cancer, there was a thing that they could do. The treatment was this amazing device that went in, and it was supposed to, they did it because it was minimally invasive. And it was like a little drill, I guess, and it went inside and it took out the cancer physically with this like a drill. Just suspend your disbelief, like a drill. Anyway, the cancer was cured. Disappeared. But something like 10 years later, they found that this thing was like an underground drill for drilling a hole underground. And as it kind of turned round and went through the cancer, it splintered it into tiny cancer fragments that went all over the body. And this woman ended up with cancer all over. So whereas she'd had a very specific cancer to start with, which could have been treated with a, well, let's just take everything out, because she'd opted for this, let's just shave off the bit that's got cancer, she ended up with it all over and died. And he described this machine, mechanism, treatment, call it what you like, because he'd gone to a conference, and at this conference there was a salesperson from the company trying to sell this device. And he didn't realise this guy's wife had died with it and that he was a doctor. And when he finally exploded with this guy, because he wasn't very nice to him, and another doctor who was with him was like, you know, why are you being so rude? Well, when the salesman didn't take the hint to take a hike, he went mental. And he explained what I've just explained, but probably far better than I did. And he had a glass in his hand and he took a piece of ice out of it and he put it on the table, he said, and that was the cancer. which could have been taken away, you know, with good margins, and it would have gone. And he put the ice down and he smashed it with the cup and said, but that's what you did with it. And it went all over her body and she died. And I'm like, if they said to you, you've got this problem, this is the treatment for it, you'd be accused. I mean, unless you just go along with it because, you know, hey, he's a doctor, must be right. My first approach is, he's a doctor, he's got to be wrong. But if you go along with it, you could find out later that wasn't the thing to do. But your only other option is to Google it. And if you Google it, they think you're barking mad. They think you're one of the Tin Hat Brigade. But to me, you'd Google a car, wouldn't you? If you were about to buy a car, wouldn't you be interested in its safety record? So what's the difference? They seem to take offence at it. I think killing a rabbit to find out if you're pregnant or not, can't you just wait? I used to like rabbits. But no, they never found, they could never get one to agree that she was pregnant. The same doctor delivered me though, and she wanted to have me at home. But she had high blood pressure, and I mean high blood pressure. Her blood pressure was like in four figures. It was bad. But she decided she was having me at home, and that was that. Her biggest fear was having you in hospital and then not getting the right baby. So she decided that what she'd do is, when she went into labour, she just wouldn't tell anybody until it was too late to move her. And that's exactly what she did. So her GP came out, and he pitched up, and you know, there's Mum holding me, and he said, "You were right then." I think he always trusted her after that. Oh, Graham's gone for food. Listening to the scientists, but the scientists can't agree. And that's why we have other opinions. Yeah, I think we said that right at the beginning of all this, didn't we? That you would get different opinions as to how, what to have, what to do. And that's what we've had for months and months and months. All they can agree on is, you know, wash your hands, don't go out. And that they do agree with. But all I'm saying is, I've done research. Obviously, it's been in hindsight and it's not been a personal issue to me. But when you go back and you look at the literature, obviously, you've got the dates that this stuff was out. So if on the 1st of January, it was, this treatment's amazing, it's fantastic, and the 1st of June of the same year, you've got like the first report of, well, that didn't end well. If it's one, fair enough. But, you know, if by the September I've got 50 reports of that's not great, I'm looking at this 5-10 years down the line. But, you know, I would have liked to have known, if that treatment was recommended to me in the November, what had happened between June and November. I would have wanted to know. Only then can I make a decision as to what's best for me. And what's best for me might seem totally barking to somebody else. But we're all different. And until you've walked a mile in somebody's shoes, as they say, don't judge. That's what I was saying with the newspaper about, let's get back to normal. Oh, should we? Should we really? Where the most important people in the world are people who kick a football about for a living and get millions for it, and people who are making fortunes by being influencers. I saw 2 minutes, thank God. Thank God it was no more. And I thought, I know I'm of an age, but I don't have a skin child daughter. Well, I've got Rachel, but you know what I mean. She's not of an influencing age. But there was some European Music Awards on, and they had a band on. And I'm not sure if it was Little Mix, because I know in Little Mix there's four of them, but there was only three because one was sick and there was four of these. So I don't know who it was. And there was a guy singing. So the guy was obviously the star of the show. And this band was behind him. Can you find a picky for me, Mike? It was the EMA Awards, I think. The girls had like trousers on.
2020.
Yeah. And a jumper. So they sound quite well clothed, don't they? But these
jumpers.
No. No, it was black and a jumper. There were dancers behind the main guy. But these jumpers had no front. So they had full arms and a back and a bit that went round the neck, and the front was totally open and they just had the bra on. And I'm not sure about whether the pants were full or not.
Those?
No. No, there were dancers behind a guy. But I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, God, you're old. And I'm thinking, you know, there are kids aged about 5, 6, 7.
Those.
Let me have a look. I think you're warmer with that one, mate. But they look like they've got more clothes on than they did when I saw them, because all you could see was like a pink bra on one and a green bra on one and a yellow bra on the other. And I'm thinking, it's not. They've got the right to do whatever they like. And if I don't like it, I can turn off. Not a problem. But I was thinking, can you imagine having kids aged 6 who are like, Mom, I want that. I want that outfit.
Those.
Can you move the microphone? Because I can't see a thing. No, they were black. What part of the clothes were black, right, Mike? Keeps him occupied. But how do you say no to a child repeatedly? Because that's what the influencers look like. They have very little clothes on. And that is the normality we all want to head back to, apparently. Only I don't, because I'm just weird. I'd like a new normal, a better normal, a kinder normal. Whether we'll see that or not is a totally different business. He's still looking, aren't you?
Yeah. That's Little Mix. Oh, hang on, no.
No, it was the EMA Awards, MTV EMA Awards. Well, it was on that. I know. You see that video there with that guy?
Yeah.
Click that. Oh, you see, that's white. They were definitely wearing black.
Well, there's some wearing black.
Ah, it was after that. Because I saw that bit.
This is only 3 minutes. This is the highlights.
The highlights were 3 minutes. How long was the show? About 6 hours. It just shows you how out of touch I am, doesn't it? But the thing was, look at them, Mike. All the guys have got clothes on, and all of the women haven't.
Is it those?
No, it looked like that. No, they look like the actual awards, don't they?
Yeah.
No, the thing was, all of the guys had full clothes on. They weren't walking around with crotchless pants on, which I thought would have been a good idea. Jonathan's taking us with him. Don't go out in your crotchless pants, Jonathan. Because Jonathan's way trendier than we are. Doctors are supposed to discuss the efficacy and dangers of treatment with their patients. Meant to be completely transparent. Yes, but let's be honest, Simon, it's not. It never has been. You've got drug companies and equipment companies giving doctors holidays and TVs and influencing them. And the doctors, if you were being kind, you'd say they're really too busy to keep up with the latest cutting edge research. If you were not being as kind, because to me that's your job, then they're not doing it. I had two cases where two children had been given a vaccination at vaccination age. Both of them were contraindicated by pre-existing family conditions. So something that ran in the family of one, but something, they both had clear contraindications and the GPs both ignored it. They didn't discuss it with the families or anything. They just said, you know, it's time for X vaccine. I think it was the pertussis vaccine. So we'll just give it to them. And the children's lives were totally ruined. They ended up like that guy in the wheelchair. They were clearly contraindicated and they ignored it. And that's what gets me. And I think with this vaccine, they're rolling out with such haste. And the doctors are already stressed. Cases where there is a contraindication, they're going to be missed. They're going to be missed and we're going to find out about it down the line. We're not going to find out about it at the beginning. Anyway, we're done with Marooned. We're heading into MacBites Live, which is fractionally different because then we discuss all of the tech. So for the moment, for Marooned, it's good night from me.
And it's good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys!